Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The kids are dismissed for Kid Venture. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 is where we will start, and then there's a lot of other verses to go to, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Father, we do thank you for the evening that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for just the day that you've blessed us with and guiding us through it, protecting us. I pray, Father, that you would bless our time together tonight. Father, as always, Lord, we come ready, Father, to hear from heaven. Father, we want you to guide us and direct us through the scriptures. We want the Holy Spirit to teach us as he is the one that will lead us into all truth. He helps us, Lord, to understand the scriptures. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight, guiding us according to your will. As always, Father, speak to the kids in Kid Venture. Help them, Lord, to understand the Bible lesson. We ask that the word of God would take root in their hearts, Lord, helping them just to come to know Christ as their Savior, to develop a relationship with the best friend that anyone can have, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask that you would please bless our time together tonight. Allow it to be fruitful in our lives. And Father, as always, Lord, use it to draw us closer to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 is probably one of my most favorite verses. It would be considered my life verse. Many people have verses that they've chosen for their life verse, a verse that they really try to center their life around, and it's a goal in their life. And no doubt, verse 58 can be a goal that we set in our life. Because verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we know that we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have victory in Jesus Christ, we can accomplish verse 58. Just as I think, as we're coming to the end of 2021, there's no doubt been some trials throughout this year. And yet God has brought us through. And there can sometimes be trials in our life that could cause us maybe not to try harder the next year in doing things for the Lord, because it just seems like, you know, sometimes the more you try to do for the Lord, the closer you try to get to the Lord, it just seems like the battle gets a little stronger, because the Bible just say, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The devil will try to resist the things that we do for the Lord. God gives us victory, but again, the devil's always there trying to dishearten God's people, trying to discourage God's people, trying to get God's people just to be frustrated and really tired of the spiritual fight. But again, the spiritual battle is not to be fought in our own strength, but it is to be fought in the Lord's strength, and we get that strength through the Lord's armor, according to Ephesians chapter 6. But the Lord Jesus Christ has already given us victory, according to verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. But when you look at verse 58, because we have victory in Jesus Christ, we can, as verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, I mean, just those three things to start with, being steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our focus should always be at the beginning of the year, and as we're coming to the end of the year, our focus should always be the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that will help us to remain steadfast in the ways of the Lord. He's the one that will help us to remain steadfast in the promises of God's word, in the doctrines of God's word. And in the word of God, as the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, the Lord Jesus Christ helps us to remain steadfast, because If you think, I can just think of a child who may be a little scared, maybe even thinking about running from something they're scared of, but when they see their parent, it encourages them that they're okay. It encourages them that everything is just fine, and they can trust that their parent will take care of them. So again, when you think about when your focus is on the Lord, and really that's what I want us to think about tonight, is just keeping our focus on the Lord, keeping a positive momentum in our life for the things of God, moving forward in our faith and in our Christian walk with the Lord, because we should never get to a point, and really we should never get to a place in our life where we're fine where we're at spiritually, but we should always have a desire that, you know what, I want more. I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to see God do more things in my life, and I want to see God working in my life. Because again, God does want to show himself great and mighty in our life, and I'm sure you have seen God work in your life over this past year, because God's always working. God's always moving. He's always doing things in our life, and we do want to pay close attention and recognize the things that God does, especially if God has answered any of your prayers this year. If you have prayed for wisdom, direction, you've asked God specifically for things, and he's answered those prayers, those are things that will help us to stay focused and keep following the Lord and keep moving forward, even if there are some things that maybe didn't turn out the way you hoped they would, yet God has still led you through this year. God has still provided you. God's still taking care of you. God has still spoken to you through your Bible study and through your prayer, through the prayers that you have offered up this past year. Those are things that will help you to stay positive and keep moving for the Lord. Again, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So I want you to think about several things as we think about being steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. How can we continue to move forward in our faith? Because again, we do, when the Lord calls us home, when the Lord either calls us before the rapture or at the rapture, only the Lord knows when each of our time is up. We do want to be found faithful, faithfully trusting him, faithfully following him, faithfully abiding by his word, faithfully allowing him to work in our life. Because remember, he's the one that has redeemed us. He's the one that has saved us. He's the one that has begun a good work in you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the one that wants to continue working in our lives. He wants us to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we can do that in several ways. And again, the ways I'm going to list are ways that really should be something that we focus on at the beginning of the year, throughout the year, and at the end of the year. And number one is to always keep a biblical focus. Remember, even though we're still living in this world, we're not of this world anymore. We're of the kingdom of God. We are God's people. So our entire life needs to have a biblical focus. Everything we do in life, we do need to seek God's counsel and God's wisdom. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, as we think about maintaining or keeping a biblical focus in our life so that we can continue being steadfast in our faith, continue being unmovable, and continue abounding in the work of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, when you look at verse number 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Now again, like I said before, even before I read this verse, no Christian can live the Christian life on their own. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is through God's leading. But on our part, we do have to keep a right focus. We do have to keep trust in the Lord. We do have to keep the Word of God at the center of our life. It is, you could say, this is our life manual for our life. And we do need to allow the Lord through his Word to guide us, to encourage us, to give us the wisdom that we need and to help us to keep that right focus. Again, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you think about Christ. You think about the one that encourages us the most is Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ can endure the life that he lived, and it was not an easy life, you think, Jesus chose the hardest time to live in, where there was no freedom. They were under Roman rule. Jesus chose a time to die for the sins of the world at the cruelty of man, being tortured the way he was tortured, being beaten the way he was beaten. I mean, just how they mocked him, they ridiculed him, they abused him, they hung him on a cross. He chose that. He didn't choose the easy way out. He chose the hard path so that you and I wouldn't have to travel that path alone. Again, we probably, who knows, we may never have to die for our faith, but praise the Lord, we don't have to die for our sins. The Lord doesn't ask me to die for my own sins. Jesus Christ has already done that and given me and given you the victory. But when we think life has gotten too hard, we really do have to look back to Christ and say, you know what? He actually took the hard road for me, and now he walks with me to help me through this life. Again, there are going to be things, and I'm sure there has been things this past year that probably has tested your faith. Because again, if you're trying to get closer to the Lord and you're again, reading your Bible, you're praying, you're seeking God, you're wanting to see God in your life, you just don't want to have a religious experience, but you want to have a relationship with the Lord, there's going to be trials. When I think about Job's life, I mean, he was, again, a man who eschewed evil. He walked uprightly before the Lord. He was someone that the devil was very familiar with, because when God brought up Job to the devil, the devil's right off the bat. He says, you've got a hedge of protection around him. I can't do anything to him. So he knows God's people. And yet God allowed a trial in Job's life for Job's good, for God's glory, and to show us that the devil can't do anything without God allowing it. But what the devil wants to do is he likes to get into the minds of people and, number one, cause the lost to hate God and blame God for every bad thing that happens in their life. And he wants to get into the minds of God's people and cause them to become discouraged with God, to even get upset with God, and at times even blame God. But God wants us to keep a right focus. Again, when we feel discouraged or we feel like the world is against us, or we're even tempted to think that, you know what, God is against me, we need to look back at Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who's leading us through this life, who wants us to follow him just as he would walk by those disciples and say, follow me, and they would get up and they would leave everything they had and follow him. That's exactly what he wants us to do. And remember, again, this world is not our home. I believe a lot of Christians have made this world their home, and therefore they're not happy because they're trying to live in the pleasures of this world and they're trying to walk with God, but they don't go hand in hand. Now, God gives us things in this world to enjoy, but again, our relationship with the Lord, our focus on the Lord has to be number one, so that we can continue being steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And again, it says, for Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we think life is not fair, remember, we have something far greater than this life and this world can have to offer, and that is what Christ has given us, what we have to look forward to, a place in heaven, an eternity with a loving heavenly Father who has given us everything. I mean, to be heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ, but to be given even a relationship with an eternal God, with our Heavenly Father. What a wonderful thing it is. But again, in order to maintain a right focus, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, we do have to keep a biblical focus. We do have to let the Word of God truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, always seeking God's wisdom and God's guidance through His Word. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 is like we think about just another way to stay steadfast and unmovable is to, as verse 1 tells us, to lay aside every weight. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it goes on to verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Obviously, He is our encourager. He should be the one that, obviously, when we look to, we should have the mindset when we see Christ, when we spiritually look at Christ and we look at what He went through for us, that, you know what? He's worth continuing to move forward. Humanly speaking, when I look at my wife and my kids, they're worth me going to work every day. Though I'm tired of going to work, and I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking about the other work I have to go to. I'm tired of the hours, right? It's just sometimes, you know, you get fed up with work. You get fed up with the secular job and all that goes along with it. But then when I look at the family God's given me and the children, well, that kind of motivates me to keep going, to get up and to keep going until the Lord decides to change it, all right? But when we talk about our spiritual state and helping us to continue spiritually moving forward for the Lord, He is our guide. He is our the one that we look to that cheers us on. Again, recently we were talking about Stephen in Sunday school and just the grace of God in Stephen's life to endure the persecution that he had, being the first martyr of the church. But when he looked up and said, I see heaven open, I see the Son of Man standing. I mean, just again, that was something that motivated Stephen to know that, you know what, everything's okay. Even though there's a crowd against me, there's one in heaven that's on my side. And it really did encourage him and help him to stay positive. Even though he was in a negative situation, yet he stayed positive and was able not to have bitterness, anger, and a grudge against his enemies, but to say, lay not this sin to their charge. Again, Christ has to be, and the Bible has to be our focus, and anything that we know in our life, maybe throughout the year, maybe something has happened. Maybe at work, maybe in a relationship, something has happened that, you know what? We kind of haven't gotten over it. It's kind of made us a little agitated or a little upset. Any weight, any sin in our life will hold us back from moving forward. We should have the desire that we do want to get closer to the Lord. And we should really even assess our own spiritual walk and our own desire, our heart's desire, and really think, you know, do I have a heart's desire to get closer to the Lord? Do I find myself thinking about the Lord often? Or do I just have a routine? And it is something that we should evaluate very often, because the closer we get to the Lord, the more we will see things in our life that are hindering us from even getting closer to the Lord, or maybe hindering our testimony or hindering just something in our life. And the Lord says to lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, to have that positive momentum and to keep moving forward and to keep being steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the work of the Lord, we really do have to keep a biblical focus. We really do have to keep our focus on the Lord. We really do have to evaluate our own life and see, Are there things in my life? Is there things that I'm allowing to keep me from moving forward? And again, the Lord will show us, because again, the Lord's desire is for us to grow closer to Him. His desire is for us to be conformed more into the image of Christ, because we've been predestinated to be conformed into the image of Christ. And some of these weights could be relational burdens. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. It may be a relational burden in your life or my life that, you know what, may be keeping me from moving forward in my relationship with the Lord. What I mean by that is, you know, again, as we're getting to the end of 2021, I mean, just a couple weeks, and we'll be going into 2022. Has there been any disappointments this past year? Things, again, like I said earlier, that things just didn't work out the way you thought, or things happened you weren't expecting. Sometimes, again, as I talk to people and counsel some people over this past year, a lot of the counseling had to do with something they were holding on to in the past. They kept, you know, we would talk, and they would just keep going back to something in the past, something that they could not get over. And again, disappointments in life can hold us back from moving forward with the Lord because for whatever reason we're hung up on the disappointment or the failure. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 still reminds us, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. It's still true. The Lord does care for us. And we can cast all of our care, whatever it is that's bothering us, whatever disappointments we have this past year, those are things we don't want to hang on to. We don't want those to keep us from moving forward for the Lord. Because, again, as we enter in 2022, the Lord has some great things in this next year. But our adversary, the devil, always wants us to be hung up on the past. He always wants us to be hung up on disappointments or on failures, whether there are failures or someone's failure against us. Whatever the devil can do to keep us, and I say us as God's people, from moving forward, from being steadfast in the truth of God's word and abounding in the work of the Lord, he will do just that. So we've always got to keep a conscious mind towards, you know, casting our care. What is it that's bothering us? What is it that maybe we just can't get it out of our mind? I mean, again, some people will try to get themselves busy so they don't think about things that bother them. But then when they're not busy, that's what they're thinking about. And God doesn't want those weights to hold us back. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3. Another weight could be emotional burdens. In Philippians chapter 3. Again, I love the fact that when we read through our Bible, we find people that were kind of hung up on disappointments in life. They were hung up on their failures. And yet as Jesus came to Peter on the Sea of Galilee, to help Peter see and understand that he still had a relationship with Christ, that Christ, his grace was sufficient for Peter, even though Peter disappointed himself, he had a great failure in denying Christ three times, yet Jesus is the one that came to Peter to help Peter get over his failure and to help Peter understand that, hey, you still have a walk with me. Follow me, because I got things for you to do. There's things I want to do in your life and through your life. And that helped Peter. And again, we have the Holy Spirit in us that helps us to understand that we have grace with God, and God does want to help us throughout our life, regardless of what's going on. He doesn't want us to be weighed down and burdened down with failures and disappointments. He wants us to cast those on Him to keep moving forward. But in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14, it may be someone has emotional burdens that is a weight holding them back. And it says in verses 13 and 14, brethren, This is Paul. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, Jesus is always the focus. He's the one we're always to be looking to. He's the one that we are basically, as a runner running a race, trying to get first place, trying to get that first place trophy, that first place prize. We already have Christ, but we're to live our life as though we're still trying to get to him, that we still want to get to him, that we still want him as the prize of our life. Again, he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul says, I don't think I've obtained. I haven't gotten there. Though Paul was used mighty of the Lord, and Paul was caught up to the third heaven, as he testifies, and he saw and heard great things, and yet he says that I still press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the only way that he can continue moving forward is like he says in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. When 2021 is done and we move into 2022, 2021 needs to be left behind. Just like 2020 needs to be left behind. A lot of people are still hanging on to 2020, and some will hang on to 2021. And things that just didn't work out, or and just failures, or whatever. And God wants us to, again, if you failed the Lord at all this past year, because, you know, in January, people always, you know, they give their vows what they're going to do the next year. You know, I'm going to lose this much weight, or I'm going to do this, you know, turning over a new leaf. I mean, all the promises, and usually, you know, by the second week of January, they've totally dropped the ball. They did not keep their vow or their promise. But, you know, throughout the year, because we're still human, we probably have failed the Lord somewhere along the way. And the devil wants to hang that over our head. He wants to hang that failure over God's people's head so they will not trust the Lord, ask for forgiveness, trust the Lord forgives them, and move on. Again, I've counseled people that are born-again believers, and I've had to go back to the basic of where it says in Scripture that God remembers our iniquity no more, as far as the east is from the west. When he forgives you, he forgives you. He doesn't hold it over your head. That's what the devil does. The devil holds our failures over our head. But God doesn't. Once you ask the Lord to forgive you, the Lord forgives you, and the Lord wants you and myself to move on, learn from that experience, but move on with the Lord and let the Lord do great things in our life. He doesn't want us to be held back. He doesn't want us to be burdened down with disappointments or emotional burdens, all right? But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And what is before? It's Christ. Again, our focus is on the Lord, moving forward. He basically has put us in a race, and he wants us to run our race well as he runs with us and encourages us along the way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, another burden that some may struggle with is comparing themselves among others. Again, the devil loves for God's people. And really, you know, I would say probably does it to all Christians, regardless of what level you're on. But those that are kind of struggling in their faith and struggling to get on some type of routine of Bible reading and prayer and going to church and just getting close to the Lord and developing a relationship with God. Because it is. It's an amazing thing, and I hope and pray that you have and do experience a true relationship with the Lord. I know you do. You know, I was talking to somebody recently, and they were telling me that they were reading their Bible, and they could just, as God spoke to their heart about a verse in the Bible they came across, he said his eyes filled up with tears because he could just hear God speaking to him through that verse. You know what? As you are a child of God and you have that relationship with God, when God's, and that doesn't happen all the time, but it's because your heart is tender to the things of God and you're desiring to hear God's voice speak to you. That's why, you know, I feel sorry for those that are caught up in a denomination that's just religion and going through the motions, because they're missing out on a relationship with God. They're missing out on the fact that God speaks to us through his word. He guides us by his spirit. And sometimes if somebody hears someone else's relationship and how God speaks to them and how God moves them at times, and they compare their relationship, and they feel like, well, I don't have a relationship like that. The devil is either going to discourage that person and help them to believe that, well, you can't attain to that type of relationship, or that person will get jealous over that person. I mean, the devil will try anything he can to discourage that person, to get that person to compare themselves. I mean, it even happens among pastors. Pastors looking at other pastors' ministries and churches and think, you know, why does he have that type of ministry? I should have that type of. And I've been around pastors like that. And even in my early years, I desired ministries that somebody else had. And, you know, it's just pastors kind of go through that until they learn that, you know what? You are where God has you. God gives you the ministry that you have. God gives you the people that you have. And it's just like any Christian, we have to be careful not to compare ourselves with other believers. In fact, if we, you know what? One thing that did encourage me over the years before I became a pastor was there were men in my home church that, I mean, you could tell they had a walk with God. I mean, they just had a genuine walk with God. I mean, they had this glow about them. They just had this wonderful spirit about them, the Holy Spirit. But it drew you to them. And when you were around them, you couldn't help but to think positive. Even if you were upset before you even got around them, they had such a godly positive attitude that it helped me and it helped others to kind of, you know, have a better outlook. You know what? Life isn't that bad. I mean, and I kind of wanted that. I said, Lord, I want that same relationship he has. Remember Elisha? Elisha asked Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, if you see me go into heaven, if you see me depart, God will grant it to you. And when Elijah departed in that fiery chariot and Elisha had the mantle, Elisha goes back to the river, and he calls out for the God of Elijah and smites the water with that scarf, with that mantle, and the water parted. I mean, God gave him a double portion because he desired that. So you know what? If you see someone that has a godly walk with God, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I want that type of relationship. In fact, Lord, I want a better relationship with that, with you, because again, the focus is the Lord. But when we compare ourselves with other people, well, Lord, it's not fair. Remember, Cain killed his brother Abel because he was jealous of his brother and his brother's relationship with God, because God accepted his sacrifice, because Abel brought a lamb of his flock. He brought a blood sacrifice to the Lord. He gave of himself something very precious. Cain only brought the fruit of the ground. He brought some vegetables, some fruit to the Lord, and the Lord didn't accept it. But the Lord even talked to Cain and said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you don't do well, you won't be accepted. I mean, the Lord even gave Cain an opportunity to not be mad at his brother. Don't compare yourself to your brother. Look at your relationship with me. And yet he couldn't get his focus off his brother, and he killed his brother. Now, it's not to say that, you know, any of God's people, Lord willing, wouldn't kill another brother or sister in Christ that they felt, you know, jealous over. But what I'm saying is, sometimes when somebody is comparing themselves with somebody else, instead of getting their life right with God, they get upset that someone else has a relationship with God, and they let that person's relationship with God keep them from having a relationship with God. If you've been around, honestly, church any length of time, you come across people like that. And I do. I feel sad for those people that they're more focused on somebody else instead of on the Lord. Again, things to help us to keep moving forward, things to help us to be steadfast in our faith, unmovable in our faith, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, moving forward in our faith, is to do these things. Keep a biblical focus. Lay aside the weights. Lay aside things that you know are kind of not right, disappointments, things that are holding you back. Forget those things behind. Forget the failures. Forget, you know, don't let the devil have any room in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled." God promises to bless, but he does not bless unfaithfulness. He does not bless unforgiveness. He does not bless someone who harbors bitterness in their heart towards somebody else. Again, not anybody in here, but no Christian should be jealous over some other Christian's life that's being blessed by God. Because God blesses his children, and someone who is faithful to the Lord, God blesses. I know of a person, I've known of several people that were blessed financially, and other people that were mad at that person for being so blessed financially. And I would have to say, well, look at them. Look at the person blessed financially and what they do with their finances. And me knowing them, they would give their finances to other people in need. And because they had a heart for helping people, God would continue to bless them financially, would just give them pay raises and bonuses because they would just take it. You know, they would pay their bills and stuff like that, but they would take the excess and just help people with it. And usually the person who is mad and jealous over that person, they wouldn't do the same. They just want the money for themselves, and they think, you know, God should bless them. Well, I threw a tithe check in the offering plate. Why isn't God blessing me with $1,000 this week? You know, their heart's not in the right place. So when you think about this, having this positive momentum, when you think about 1 Corinthians 15:58, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, it really does matter where our heart is. Because if my heart is in the right place and my heart is all about the Lord, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is God really my treasure? Is that who I value the most? Is that who I cherish the most? Is that who I want to see the most in my life? Well, my heart's going to be right there. I'm going to be seeking after the Lord. And believe me, the blessings do come. You can probably think right now of just some blessings that God has blessed you with over this past year. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So again, always thinking on what's true, always thinking on what's right. And obviously, I can simply say the Word of God is all of that, but so is Jesus Christ. Again, the devil always wants us to believe lies and believe things that are not true. The devil's all about destroying relationships. He's all about burning bridges among people and getting division among God's people. And we don't need to let the devil have any room in that. We don't need to give him his what he desires, but we need to give the Lord what he desires. And that is our full focus. That is glory and praise to the Lord through remaining steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. A few more minutes here. Psalm 37. I mean, you know what it's like to just recognize things that God is doing in your life, and just to, you know, again, just to be reminded of just the awesomeness of God and the fact that God is so involved in our lives, in all of our lives. But in Psalm 37, I think about verses 4 through 7, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I've heard that verse be taken out of context. Oh God, you know what? If you delight yourself in the Lord, God will give you all the desires of your heart. No, he won't. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The desires of the heart that the Bible speaks of and this psalm speaks about is when you delight yourself in the Lord, that's all you want. You want what God wants for you. You want more of the Lord. And God will give you those desires. God will give you that if you want a closer walk with the Lord. Again, if you think about somebody else or somebody else that you know that, man, they have such a walk with God, I want what they have. I want that relationship with God. The first pastor I had in Wisconsin, he passed away in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been the beginning of 2020. I think it was the end of 2020. I mean, he was like a father figure. I mean, just when I was around him, I mean, just he had such a walk with God. I mean, you could just tell. But I watched him with people. It didn't matter who the person was. It didn't matter what they looked like. It didn't matter what their background was. He had such a love for them. I mean, he showed them the love of Christ. And that was one of my desires, Lord, I want to be like that. I want to be a man of God like that, that has such the hand of God upon his life, has such the Spirit of Christ, that he sees people through the eyes of Christ, that he sees them as Jesus would see them, someone who needs to be loved, someone who needs to be helped. I mean, think, when you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart's desire become God's desire. It's not, unfortunately, what some people want to wrongly think and suggest that, you know, well, whatever my desires are, God will give me. If I desire, you know, $1 million, he'll give it to me, you know. No, the desires of our heart should be for God and should be for the things of God and getting closer to the Lord. Because again, he says in Psalm 37, "Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." You know what? As you and I are waiting patiently for the Lord to come through on a prayer, to give direction, to give wisdom, as we're resting in the Lord, we're spending more time with him. And again, our heart's desire becomes his desire, and he desires for us to draw closer to him, to spend more time with him, to let him do his will in our life, for us to be the living sacrifice that Romans chapter 12 talks about. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, you know this account. You know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times asking God to remove the thorn. And Christ, Jesus, said, "No, my grace is sufficient. I will be your strength. You don't need the thorn in the flesh to be removed. What you need is my strength." And as Paul understood what the Lord was saying, he desired more of the Lord, and he says, "I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He was delighting himself in the Lord. Therefore, his desire was to have more of Christ in his life. He wanted the power of God upon his life so he could fulfill God's will in his life, and he was able to fulfill it. And again, we know the end of Paul's life, where he writes to Timothy before Paul's death, and he says, "I finished my course. I finished the race. I remained faithful." He remained faithful and finished his race because he had a heart's desire for the Lord, and Christ helped him to finish his race. Jesus gave him the strength, gave him the grace that he needed to move on day after day after day, even when it became physically hard for him, even when it became spiritually hard for him because of spiritual battles everywhere he would go, and the devil would fight against him, people would fight against him. But because he had such a heart's desire to glorify God with his life, Christ helped him to finish the race and to finish it faithfully. Last place I want you to think about, go 1 Peter chapter 1. Just a couple minutes. Another thing that can hinder us from remaining steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, another thing that can hinder us from moving forward in our walk with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord, is when we have unforgiveness towards somebody, where someone has done us wrong. Again, whether it's another Christian, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, another family relative, whether it's the cashier at a store, all right, whether it's a stranger. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being quick to forgive. Being quick to forgive those that may do you wrong, or those that disagree with you, or those that maybe we think are wrong, and maybe they're not wrong, we just think they are wrong. If we can maintain right relationships, that's another, relationships can be another hindrance, another weight that kind of holds us back, because we're kind of holding on to something the person said, something the person did, something the person didn't do that we thought that they should do. Again, it could be a stranger, it could be a spouse, it could be a family member, a friend, a coworker. Again, there are just different things in our life that can be a hindrance and a weight, and God wants us to be a quick forgiver of those that may do us wrong, so that we don't give place to the devil. Our focus should be our relationship with God and always moving forward, because the Lord is always moving forward and he wants us to follow him. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Just a continual forgiveness. And remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we want God to forgive us. We don't want our relationship to be hindered with the Lord because of any ill will, any unforgiveness that we're harboring towards somebody else. Remember, the Bible does say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Again, the most important thing and the most precious thing in your life and my life should be our relationship with the Lord. And we don't want anything or anybody to disrupt that. We do want, again, to finish our course well because we've faithfully followed the Lord. We have faithfully allowed the Holy Spirit to show us things in our heart, in our life, that may be a hindrance, that may be a sin, that maybe we've forgotten about or we just refuse to address, and the Lord just keeps bringing it to our light. Again, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the focus. Yes, he's the reason for the season that we're in, but he's the reason for the life that you and I have. He's the reason for the relationship that you and I have with the Lord. He's the reason for the place that has been prepared for us in heaven. He is the reason that we will see him face to face one day when the trumpet sounds and we're caught up in the air to be with the Lord. Last place, Jude chapter 1. Go to Jude. There's only one chapter of Jude, verse 21. The Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Just different things that can help us to maintain a positive momentum in our Christian walk with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord, keeping our focus on the Lord. We do have an adversary that wants to disrupt our relationship with the Lord. He doesn't want us to thrive. He wants us to just come to a place where we're just complacent. We're fine with where we're at spiritually. But God desires more. He desires us to go a little further. He desires for us to get a little closer, to be able to hear his voice a little clearer. Again, as we end this year, let's take inventory of this last year. Let's think about our walk with the Lord this last year. And let's think, you know what? I want to hear God's voice even clearer this next year. I want to feel God's presence even more in my life. I want to, when I read God's word, I want to be drawn into the scriptures to where everything is shut out. My mind is not going 100 miles an hour with all the things I have to do or things that, you know, have happened or will happen. But when I sit down with God, you know what? That's what I want. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want the Lord to, the next year, to help me to get to that next level. The next level of my relationship with the Lord. And there are different levels. And again, I think about Paul. I mean, I think about just even David was on a level with the Lord. And you know, we're all on different levels because we're all growing spiritually, and we should have that desire that, you know what, I want more. I want more of the Lord. I want to see more of God working in my life. I want myself to get closer to the Lord, allowing people to even, you know what, when they're around me, even before I speak, they tell something's different. Because I go back to where those religious rulers were looking at Peter and the others, and they noticed they'd been with Jesus. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Something's different. You know what? Family members that you have this next year, hopefully this last year, 2021, hopefully we didn't do anything to ruin the testimony we had with them. But going into 2022, you know what? Especially we have lost relatives, lost friends, lost co-workers. You know what? Lord, I want 2022 to be the year where these lost people I've been praying for, these unsaved people, that this is the year they get saved. And Lord, while I'm around them, help me not to act worldly. Help me not to lose my temper. Help me not to do something that would cause them to use me as an excuse for not asking Christ to be their Savior. And that's having a heart's desire for the Lord, that, Lord, I don't want to be someone's excuse for not trusting you. I want to be the example that the Bible tells me, to be an example of the believers, so people see, you know what, I want what they have. They have something that I need. That's a true heart's desire, that, Lord, show yourself mighty in my life so people see that, you know what, they need Christ.